We are recording.
What's today's date?
The 8th.
Okay, calling today's Cameron Park Community Center Community Services District Budget Administration meeting to at 6:55.
5:56.
Or 5:56. I'm getting over a cold, and I'm just not all there.
Yeah.
So, roll call.
Okay. Director Gilchrist.
Here.
Director Wolfson.
Here.
We are all here.
Okay, moving on to adoption of the agenda. Any additions or changes to the amended agenda?
I didn't have anything.
Either. Any public comment? I got shaking heads, so no, okay.
I move we adopt the agenda.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Open forum. Members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda. Do we have any public comment?
We need to approve the minutes.
Oh, sorry. Skipped over that.
Sorry.
Any changes or additions to the minutes from last month? No, none for me. Motion to public comment.
I move we approve the minutes from last month.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now open for any members of the public. I think they shook their head already. No? Okay. All right, moving over to department matters, appropriations, limitations.
Okay, no, our first item for your review today is the is the establishment of the appropriation limitation for fiscal year 2026-27. this is a public hearing, and to approve a public hearing to approve the resolution 2026-13, establishing the appropriation limit for fiscal year 2026. This is done, I would maybe call it ministerial. It's done every year, where you take the per capita personal income and change of population into account for an increase in what that appropriation limit will be for the following year. the formula is noted there. It represents a 1.0467 escalation factor, if you will, to the prior appropriation limit of $15,442,497. After applying that, the new appropriation limit would be set at $16,163,662. Those are in millions of dollars. So what we're asking the committee to do is to forward this to the board for the public hearing required by statute.
I have no questions on this one.
I have no questions on this. Any public comment on this item? No? Okay. Forward to the board with it. Okay, moving on to our favorite subject, the LLAD Preliminary Engineer's Report.
Yes. so, same story. It goes in concert with our budget. Every year we are required to prepare a preliminary engineering report for our Landscape Lighting Assessment Districts, otherwise known as LLADs. One note on this, we are waiting on SCI to finalize their preliminary engineer's report. I spoke with them today. We will have it before the board meeting. and so what this allows us to do is to, well, first off, we have to set the assessment levels each year based on the expected cost to administer each of the LLADs. And that is on the worksheet that will be done by SCI here in a couple of days. On your staff report, you can see at the bottom what the appropriation, I keep saying appropriation, nonetheless, what the assessment rates will be for the various LLADs. There is going to be the notice for a public hearing at the July 15th meeting, and that will be publicly noticed, obviously. So I know you don't have the assessment engineer's report, but really what we're doing is it's mathematical in a sense. There are no significant updates to any of the landscape assessment districts. A few of them, as of today, awaiting SCI's confirmation, will not have their rates increased. There are only three that do have an escalation factor, and for two of those three, we will not be increasing that escalation factor because their reserves, unfortunately, unlike many others, are sufficient enough to take care of any foreseen expenses that we may have in the districts. One thing that you'll note, just so I can be transparent about it, you'll see changes in two of the LLADs. One is in Eastwood, the other is in David West or Crazy Horse, and that is a shift of salary, district staff salary going down because we have a landscape company that will be taking that over. So you'll see a movement down in staff charges to the LLADs, but you'll see an increase in contracted services for those two LLADs. So that's kind of a preview of what you'll see. Many of our LLADs are lighting only. They just pay for the street lights. And then we have four that have some form of park. We have the Charney Corner, which is the corner there of Country Club and Cameron Park Boulevard. So we'll go through that in more detail when we present this to the board with your approval in July.
Okay. I have no questions.
I have no questions. Any public comment? Yes?
Eric Easton, Cameron Park. First, I want to thank the work on this, particularly for my LLAD. The assessment is back on again after our conversation from last year. So that not having the report and not being able to come to next month's board meetings, I do want to ask the question because I see that Eastwood is a zero. And I remember that Eastwood does have a higher balance in there. I do not remember Cameron's eight to understand and make sure that they will not be in the same position as my LLAD was last year, where there are expenses that were not accounted for in the engineer's report, which is to raise the larger question that had not been handled in the past. Engineer's report never seemed to really investigate what were the needs in the LLADs versus just the recommendation based on documented expenses and reserves. So, for example, in my LLAD, and Mark's done a great job trying to narrow down what can't be discovered. There are things that need to be done in my LLAD that had not been done for years. And so last year our assessment was suspended because we had this high balance, but it didn't account for. We got irrigation to fix. There's a fence that might be fixing. There's just stuff that needs to happen. And the engineer's report never seemed to capture that. And we relied on that just based on the spreadsheet data. I know the district is working to find some of that out, but I just want to make sure for Cameron Wood's sake that that isn't the same thing coming out of that report where they're missing something. That LLAD could use those funds for upkeep and improvement. That's my only question, at least what I think I understand based on past balances. So that's it. Any questions on my experience, I'd be happy to answer
that. Thank you.
And I don't know if you have an answer on that, Mark, or that just came straight from the report.
Well, no, we did look at it. I will go back to them, and it goes into what they're doing, their due diligence of what might we do. We have a lot in all of these. We have deferred maintenance that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Yours is a prime example of that needs to be. Sorry. And as you noted, we have hired a consultant to help us do that deep dive on these, and part of that's going to be how do we catch up, if we can, to some of these deferred maintenance items.
Right.
And what is and is not part of the original LLAD formation document versus what may have been drawn into the engineering reports subsequent to the formation.
Right. I just want to make sure for Cameron Woods' sake.
Yeah, I made a note to go check back on that one.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll move this to the board with support. Moving to item 3, El Dorado disposal rate adjustment.
Okay, another annual task that we need to undergo, and El Dorado disposal will be at the board meeting in June 2nd to present what is on the staff report. And so in our agreement with them, we have a or they have an escalation clause that if they meet their performance metrics and criteria, that they are entitled to a CPI adjustment. The formula for that adjustment this year is included. Based on the results of the, they self-report and then we check against their report, and those reports are available. And I've kind of summarized them here in this table. They have met the required activities with us, and so contractually we are obligated to give them the price increase. They need to bring that before the board in June for a hearing, and then it'll be effect as of July 1. They have publicly noticed that meeting. They're required to do that because it's a rate increase. So I'll entertain any questions. Chris Brown from Eldorado Disposal will be at the meeting. He can answer all the nitty-gritty details on this, but staff is asking to forward this to the full board for our June meeting and hear and receive a presentation from Eldorado Disposal on their rate increase.
So my only question is, I see all the attachments and they look pretty good. Are we actually going to get an updated contract as well? Contract?
We are working on that. The contract is going through both entities, ours as well as Eldorado Disposal Legal, and so I won't have it ready for this go around. What is also taking longer is I'm tackling the SB 1383 ordinance at the same time, because a lot of what appears in the contract from a requirement on them is in support of SB 1383 and all the reporting requirements and all of that. So
is that the food waste thing?
That's the food waste. Okay. And again, remember, we also, in addition to all the residential customers, we also have commercial customers. So it's a pretty in-depth, detailed thing. So I think the ordinance is there. They're reviewing it, and obviously our legal is. But I even socialized it with the county, Recycle Solid Waste team, and they said it looks good to them. So at least we have some third-party eyes on it. The contract now, remember, we were on our fourth addendum to the original contract. And so now we've got all four of those
addenda, I think.
All of those are now incorporated in what will be a revised and updated agreement, so we won't have to worry about the First Amendment. I mean, they'll be noted for consistency's sake in the preamble, but the agreement will be gone. And I hope to have that by the July meeting.
That's all I have.
I don't have anything. Any public comment? Yes.
Casey Kemper. So a couple questions that might come up for clarification if they need it at the board meeting. So I'm looking at the performance standards spreadsheet, and at least the way it's written doesn't add up. They were saying they have 105 score, but if you add the column that comes from, it's 55.
Where are you?
I am on page 2 of 3 in this agenda item. It's on page 11 of the whole agenda.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the spreadsheet that says Cameron Park CSB Performance Standards.
Correct. No, I'm sorry. But which one?
Each of those items is given points. It says at the bottom the total is 105, but what's there only adds up to 55.
Ah.
And so I'm guessing part of what's missing there is under complaints, because I think that's a quarterly report. And so even then, with 4 quarters, that's another 15 points. If it's 5 points per quarter, that's only 70 points. So I'm just not sure where all of this comes up. Again, it might happen in the commercial outreach, where it's 5 per quarter. So that'd be 260. And that would potentially then add up to 105. So
the way, and I think it was, just a translation. So each of the segments, it's pass-fail, that's the way the contract
right.
is. So each of the segments is worth 20 points. So you have 5 segments. The only, and again, I think it's just when we translated it from their document to our document. The top segment, residential growth, each stands alone at 5 points.
Right.
The other ones are all, if you hit it, you get all 20. So if you go 20, 40, 60, 80, and then you add the top one, you'll get to the 100. I'm wondering where the other 5 points is.
Right. And that it might be, if I remember right, there's an extra 5 points for meeting all of certain standards, and that's kind of a bonus.
Yeah.
Even having said that, under complaints, there's no demonstration that they actually met the standard. It simply says they had 66 missed pickup complaints. And from what I read, they have to have a 99.5% approval on that, which means if they miss one, mm-hmm. they don't meet that. If they do that for two quarters, they don't meet the standard. So I just, for clarity's sake, it would be better if they could more clearly demonstrate they did that. It didn't. There were missed pickups, and they addressed those. Because I'm looking at this, and it doesn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Which, of course, affects the rate on that, but it's a dollar. So that was my only question on it, and it's probably the answers are probably there, just some clarity.
Yeah, we'll go back to their table. Their table was actually four different worksheets, so we'll go back and take a look at that.
Everything else makes sense.
Okay. All right, so we'll send that to the board with support.
With the corrections?
Yes, with the
clarifications.
Corrections and clarifications. All right, moving on to the preliminary budget for fiscal year 26-27.
Okay, I have a feeling that's why everybody's here. So,
let's go.
What's that?
Let's go. There's two of us with public.
There you go. Brought before you is our preliminary budget for fiscal 26-27. There are some notable changes that are highlighted in the discussion section. The top level takeaway, if you will, is we are, at this point, without making adjustments, projecting an operating deficit of approximately $111,000. Obviously, we have decisions that we can make that would affect that. We also need to discuss some of the revenue assumptions. This is going to be kind of a somewhat of a working discussion, but there are pros and cons of, you know, how you can calculate your revenue. Specifically, it's really property tax escalation, which we have for the purposes of this assumed 4% increase, which is similar to what the county is at 4%, and El Dorado Hills is at 4%. Also, if you look at the 10-year average, I think it's right in there, maybe a little bit above 4%. Some years much higher, a couple of years they were in the mid to high threes. But I think we don't know what the economy is going to do, but I think from a planning, don't have a crystal ball, 4% is probably the right number. So that's on the revenue side. On the other part of the revenue, and I don't know if you want to go through all the worksheets that I've had and attached. But we do have a couple assumptions on the fire side. So we have the OES, why am I drawing a blank on what's actually called?
Mutual aid, OES,
thank you. assumption, we had a high performance year in this last fiscal year that we were even above what we had budgeted. We are still waiting on Cal OES payments of around $60,000. So if we were to put that $90,000 and the $60,000 together, we're at $150,000. The obvious question there is, will we have a similar effect this year? And that's really dependent upon, you know, Mother Nature and other things. And so what is our revenue risk potential by going with that number? On the other side, obviously we had a lower than expected revenue stream on fire equipment rentals. We were budgeted at $250,000. We came in roughly right around $50,000. This last year was a very good, if you will, for the community, a good fire season, but not when we're counting on renting out our equipment for that. We have budgeted the same as we did last year at $250,000, so I want to highlight that as a question to consider as we go forward in this budget preparation. Do we want to look at, you know, and they're almost at all at the fire experts in the room, that if you have a high fire season, you may not have a high OES reimbursement, because it's water, it's our water rescue team that really drove that. So the chances of us having a high fire season and a flood season same time, I don't know, I'm not a statistician, but probably not great on one or the other. So we need to discuss. I heard Mowgli back there.
I guess it's just a bit like, if you have a really wet season, you could maybe save fires, but you could have come out of a dry and then get a super wet,
yes,
which, you know.
You could have both. You can, yeah, well, this is an El Nino year, so what does that do with the fire threats?
Yeah, the latest report at the Cal Fire Cooperators meeting, they gave a report that fuels are about a month and a half ahead and drying up, being prepared to burn. We're seeing a number of fires starting to pick up, mostly in the South State, but we have had some early fires already here in our county. One, the Cal Fire did a great job in catching the other day. So we're off to the races already. So I think it's, you never know what a fire season is going to do. The running joke in the fire service is, this is going to be the worst fire season ever. And if you say it enough times, it will be. But there's no real prediction on whether or not it's going to be a really busy fire season, other than the report that just came out, they're ready to burn. Fuels are ready to burn a month and a half early.
And it's hard, I mean, Eric, you look on board and committees for a long time. Historically, we've always come under budget, right? And we've always rented engines out at some degree, but we can't just say, like, yep, we're going to be under budget and we're going to bring in equipment revenue, because you just don't know what happened, right? So that's the hard part of predicting. You know, we're not meteorologists, and we're helpless things. So
I think we were just talking, I know we separated that, and I think for reporting purposes, separating is fine. You really do need to look at those numbers as one, because there's so much crossover between just your pure OES water rescue versus going out for pre-position. Well, you can pre-position for a mud and debris flood. You can pre-position for potential wildland fire for weather coming in and move apparatus around the state. So those pre-positions are across the board. So I think if you look at that number from a budget perspective, I think you put that number together. For reporting, because I know FES is going to want that, yeah, you can show OES, and you can also see, you know, what we're doing in the equipment rental. A couple things to remember. Last year, our Type 3 was out of service for a period of time because
we only had one.
The engine was getting replaced in that. Then the other thing, like Callum just said, we only had one. We now have two. I would suspect they're going to go out. They've already been, one of them has already been rented. So I think we need to look at things like that.
So if we're at, if you combine both of them for the year, 25-26 is $244,991. That we haven't received all the checks, so we don't have in our actuals as of 531. It's not going to reflect that.
So we're roughly, I'm going to fire about you half, right? We're about 60,000 below our estimate.
Right? Yeah, $244,991 is what we have invoiced.
Okay.
And that's a combination.
Okay. So
we just
say
OES and, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you take the 250 that we budgeted for equipment rental, and the 60 that we budgeted for OES, which again, we should put them together, we're at 244 right now. You're a little over 60,000-ish with some time still left. So. And there's still checks out.
Very fast.
That's not bad.
Well, I guess the question I had, Helen and I have talked about, you know, would we expect the similar, because obviously we had a better than forecasted mutual aid OES number. Do we expect that? And this goes back to the...
Those are big storms that were the big ticket ones.
Yeah.
And our team that went out to the Garnett Fire, was our Swiftwater Rescue team, went out for like a week, and that's a $61,000 deployment. That was actually in the summertime,
yeah,
which was a super weird, that doesn't usually happen, but it did. Right, so those are the ones that are like, I would have never thought they would have gone and done that, but they did.
Was that the boat for the fire, right?
Yeah, it was the water rescue team for the fire.
For the fire, which is very rare.
Hopefully that didn't confuse you.
It's the weather.
Sorry, Donna.
You're trying to bring up the weather.
Yeah. It's weather and heat, right? You know, they need that. But we have a very utilitarian workforce and equipment to where they're like, hey, we want swiftwater people with a Type 3 engine. Sometimes you go like these weird combinations, which we have.
Okay. So that's one thing. Some of the other expenses on here, and I highlighted and highlighted them in yellow, where if you look at the professional services, there was a couple of big swings. Those aren't really big swings. They're just transferring from one GL code into a different one. So where if you look at the category, it looks like we're down on one and up on the other, but really it's just we're classifying into a different GL code for clarity's sake. And there was a lot of confusion, frankly. We had 5420 and 5240. And when people do coding of their expenses, didn't always happen the right way. So now we have 5235, or 5335, I'm sorry. So that might explain some of the other large swings. The other one, we'll just stay with fire for a moment, is the contractual increase for the CAL FIRE contract. Per the contract, it goes up 5% a year. We took the 2025-26 budget amount of 3.2 and put the 5% escalation on that. To remember that they're not to exceed was a number higher than that. You remember offhand what that not to exceed was?
Sorry, repeat.
What? This last fiscal not to exceed.
Yep, you're no longer going up right now. I don't want to speak. So 3.2 is what we budgeted.
Correct.
But our do not exceed contract amount. Is 3.582713. So we under budgeted $382,000.
That's for this year.
That's for the current year we're in. That's what you're talking about, right, Mark?
Yes. Yeah. And the discussion was that historically, CAL FIRE never really hit that not to exceed.
Nope.
And we were budgeting for that. So prior general manager, we looked at ballistic. More the more realistic number of budget for the reality. So that's why I stayed with that as the baseline and applied the 5% increase off of that. I think that's a prudent approach. If things look like they're going differently, and of course you don't know, because a lot of that will get tied in their expenses, will get tied into a number of deployments and other things. Staffing can be a factor as well. We had a couple of vacant positions within this fiscal year that may or may not continue to be vacant as organizations change right now. We're down on battalion command and battalion chief. Sorry. Went army to fire.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so things that we just don't know, but I think it's the most prudent way to do it is to add it to our current budget because our projections are really that we're going to land right on or right at that $3.2 million.
Yeah, so I think as we go through the next fiscal year, obviously Mark and I talk a lot weekly, daily sometimes, right? We're going to know if we have vacancies or not. We're going to know if we get raises or if we don't, right? So right now, there's no change in the pay for our folks going into this fiscal year. Contract is extended until next year, so we're not forecasting any major raises. We're not looking at getting, people coming in that have massive seniority, and if that does happen, we can kind of work with that, people on injuries, things like that. So I'd agree. When we did the 3.2 for last year, that was actually like what we truly believed it was going to be. I think we're going to be under that, if I had to take my best guess, but we're not to the end of the year yet, some crazy things could happen. But yeah, I think that's a good starting point, and then we can reevaluate in 2 or 3 months. If we've been running a vacancy for 3 months, we can look at what that savings was and start kind of.
I think it's important to point out how we got to how we're budgeting was because we're getting a lot of questions from the county as well. Why are you having these major swings in budget. And that was a big conversation where, you know, we're $1 million in the hole, and then all of a sudden we're good. Everybody remembers those conversations. So we took a holistic view on where we were at with the CAL FIRE contract. We looked over the last 10 years, and historically we were 11.78% under, if you will. So we were over budgeting 11.78% on the average over the 10-year period. And then when you look back over the 27-year period, never once have we hit that do not exceed. Never once. So that gave us a little bit more comfortability, if you will, to do that. We also talked with the county, and they said, why aren't you guys budgeting closer to actuals? Before Chief Blankenheim left, we had a great discussion. He goes, yeah, why don't you? He got the same question from CAO Hennecke as well. That's how we got to where we're at, the 3.2. We have had March, April, very, very nervous because our first two quarters came in and we were sweating. I'm like, whoa, those are large. But they've stabilized, and then like Calvin just said, Chief Richard just said, we're probably going to come under that. So I think this is a prudent approach as opposed to the large swings that makes your budget look really over. And then you come back and, oh, look, we saved all this money. Well, you really didn't save that money. We didn't budget appropriately.
Okay. There was a couple other swings or things that I wanted to kind of highlight. And then obviously I'll entertain questions from the board. But our health insurance has gone up significantly. We've added a full-time employee, actually two, with the new positions. So we're budgeting for the administrative services analysts coming into the department. We did not have that expense for the majority of this past fiscal year, so that accounts for part of the swing. Some of our staff are taking more of their available benefits than they have previously, so are the employer contribution of that. Workers' comp is a big number and a big swing. I got a lovely email from our insurance company that covers workers' comp, and our estimated property tax liability contribution has gone up a lot. It's $400,000. It's a big, big number.
Did they give you any reason?
Your agency's exposure, I can read it to you. But which would include a 2.55 inflationary factor to the value of your scheduled buildings and a 5.31 inflationary factor to the value of contents for the board column. So all of our, equipments, all of our buildings, all of that stuff. So they've inflated our coverage on that. Pool reinsurance rate of 10%, being, it's expensive to insure the pool and all the liability that goes along with that. And our agency's loss history, we've had a few claims, but I don't think they've been that significant, but again, we have had some insurance claims from the district in the history. I don't think during my tenure here, I don't know.
We haven't had, not in recent memory, we haven't had any significant losses, but to Mark's point, and this is just the insurance industry. They haven't done a good job with the fire service or districts. They haven't valued property where they should have. And so, yes, there's been this growth, and the value's gone up. And I think we've just kind of sailed through where they never went back and recalculated everything to send that rate up. So what you're seeing now is pretty standard in the industry right now. It's happening quite a bit. Respect to the work comp side of things, it's going to be your experience modification rate, and that's going to have to do with the number of injuries that you have. They'll stay on for 3 to 5 years, and then your mod rate goes down as long as you have no more injuries. If you have more injuries, that mod rate goes up, and then you're going to get hit with that. There's times where you're actually going to get a check back because your mod rate went down because there's been no injuries. We did have three injuries this last year. None of them were long-term. There's a potential for actually a fourth and a fifth if you look at the other two. So it'll be interesting to see if those are long-term, then those are going to hit the mod rate, and that's going to drive your work off.
Okay. I think that in here yet because we're waiting. The consultant I've hired on the finance side, and he's going to do the capital CIP plan for us, which I'm hoping to have at least preliminary for the board meeting. The work we're doing on the pool deck, the new pool slide, the shade structures, the lifeguard remodel, that's roughly around $500,000. That is not in this budget yet. We are going to see how to best handle that from an accounting perspective. It will utilize AB 1600 park impact fees. But that's coming from a different fund. So I want to be able to show it in the budget worksheets as it's not really revenue, but it's a transfer in from a different fund. But I want to make sure that it's clear. And so I'm having somebody who works with this stuff all the time helping with that. And it will tie into the capital improvement plan that we're putting together. The rest of the capital improvements are really necessities to make this, I'm still in the red by 100,000, but to make it that smaller of a number, we had to take out the nice to haves or the would like to have. We are down like last year we had to replace the pump in the pool. Well, there's HVAC equipment that is aging very rapidly, so we have some of that stuff in there. Some of the detail I've got in other spreadsheets, and we can share that if you're interested. But there's not a whole lot. $112,000 on the facility side alone is capital equipment, and that's really things that we need to just to keep on operating at an efficient level.
Okay, do you have any?
I do not.
Any public comment? Yes.
Hi, P. Jacobs, Cameron Park. So I gather it's frowned upon to pass a deficit budget. If nothing else, the folks at the county, I gather, don't like that. So is it going to be staff recommendation to pass the deficit budget? If not, do you have recommendations about what should be cut?
We will make some recommendations. I wanted to, in this meeting, really kind of get an idea of what do we believe on the revenue side, because that's really where I think some of the decisions that we have to make first, right? Do we believe that we will rent out at the same rate as last year? Do we believe that we'll have the same mutual aid OES reimbursements? The program revenue and the instructor revenue and all that, that's not... I mean, it's important. It's going up a little bit, but it's not going to make a big difference, right? So once we kind of sort through that, then we can make some recommendations, but we're pretty lean where we are.
Yeah.
We might have to propose a deficit budget and then come back and really scrub it at mid-year. I mean, that is a chance for us to make adjustments mid-year. Chief Richards and I basically, well, actually with... previous general manager at the helm as well, we really put the screws on spending in the middle part of the year, making sure that we had a nice, glide path down to where we're going to end up. We're going to end up really pretty spot on.
It's so difficult because it's not so much the expenditures like with fire that are the issue. It's the income.
Yeah.
It's because that's the variable here, and then there's other variables within the budget as well in terms of income, and you have no way of really accurately predicting that. So it makes it really difficult. So it seems like it's not just half year, but maybe quarterly. I talked about this before. I mean, having a quarterly reexamination of where you are, maybe not making changes every quarter, making it half year, and make change. But I think it almost calls for a budget meeting, particularly if you go adopt a deficit budget. You're talking about maybe having special budget meetings on a quarterly basis just to see where you're at and whether you need to make some adjustments. Or if you could anticipate the income better by that time, that might affect what you guys decide to do about making cuts mid-year, and God forbid you need to do that. That would be my recommendation, because you're really getting up to the nitty-gritty here. And since chances are it'll work out. I have a feeling one way or the other by the end of the year, there'll be more income coming in that wasn't expected, or you you'll manage to save expenses along the way. A buyer might come in less, or who knows. It just seems to be kind of the pattern around here. But you got to put it down in writing and then get it acceptable by the powers that be at the county and Joe Hart and all that stuff to make sure that you're not going against the tide there, I guess, is what I would say.
And that's why when I was looking at what do I escalate our property tax at, that's why one of the first places I went was, okay, what did the county just do? Mm-hmm. Right, so Sue, the county has gone for 4%. Okay, that feels comfortable. A lot of adults, I mean, they're a little bit different than maybe they're still got growth and all that other happy stuff.
The only other comment is, California and the expenses that seem rather fixed, like through PERS and the various benefits, make it pretty damn hard to run a business, including a governmental agency here in California. There's no flexibility in these figures, it would seem. I don't know enough about PERS to say that, but it seems like you just keep getting hit and hammered, much less with the insurance problems in the state, which has increased your insurance problems and your insurance expenses. It just makes it really damn hard to run a business and be flexible enough to make some cuts. Like, you know, can you switch to a different healthcare provider? When I ran a nonprofit, sure, that's what we did, but you guys are, like,
locked in. Yeah.
And, you know, with incredibly high expenditures for health, even by my standards, what's going on here. Anyway, that's just a measure of voter sympathy. There's just really nothing you can do, and it's really helpless for you guys in terms of some of those expenses.
Yeah. Well, appreciate all of that, and yeah, you're right. We don't have many levers pull for the revenue side.
Yeah.
We've got some levers that we can pull on the expense side. Some of it that we're fixed, healthcare, caliber, contribution, all of that.
Workers' comp, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah. So, and we have spent, and I brought this up, I just want to acknowledge the amount of work that staff has put. This is our worksheet that goes into the budget that you've seen. So we didn't take a GL code and just say, let's go up 5%. We went item by item by item.
That's what we do.
I mean, we have, this is a, so I come from the private sector. This is a bottom-up budget forecast.
Right.
You know, this is everything that you can, and each, and that's, this is just recreation and facilities. You know, here's parks. Administration, all the departments, every department manager, we went through this and then collectively over, I mean, Laura and I have worked a lot. So I know the numbers are in there, and now we just have to get those assumptions on what are we doing, like on the revenue side, and what are we doing. And maybe to your point of quarterly review, and we say, okay, these are the 10 top assumptions. We're assuming this will happen. Is it happening, yes or no? And,
that's why I think a quarterly review after you pass the budget is probably a good idea when you get to that, to this point. I don't know how else you can manage it. But you don't want big surprises in the third quarter.
No, because then it's too late.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, there was comments, and great comments, Vicki. The district looks at these numbers every single month. And so they're running budget to actuals every single month, and that's how we're adjusting. Are we getting close to parks? Are we getting close to recreation? I think it's most appropriate to keep a mid-year adjustment and an in-year adjustment. Why? Because if you try to adjust throughout the year, those numbers are going to go up and down.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, no, just
it's more like examining it quarterly and seeing the trend.
We examine it monthly, right?
Well, I mean, but at the board meeting. Because ultimately, the board has got to make the vote.
Yes, it comes to budget and admin every meeting, the budget to actuals. And so that's where you're kind of watching that. The reason why, especially with the CAL FIRE contract, there's such a big swing. Quarter one comes in, quarter two comes in. Those are your biggest bills you're going to pay, by far, your biggest ones. Your insurance is going to be roughly $300,000. Your PERS payment's going to be right around that same number. But other than that, it's the CAL FIRE contract cost that comes in. But you are going to see those big swings. Don't forget, September, yes, it's a 4% forecast, but in September, you're going to get your real number from the county. This is the projection. It won't be a projection at that point. It's going to be, this is what you're getting.
Yeah.
And so we've been pretty spot on. I'm surprised here the county's at 4%, because typically the districts outperform the county by about a percentage point. So if that's the case and they're budgeting 4, I'm hoping it does come in at 5. That would be amazing for us. So I just want to throw that piece out there. Those are your biggest things, and that's why staff internally reviews it constantly. Every department's looking at where they're at. And if they're over, you know, we did that last year when we were over in recreation, as you remember. We had to make some adjustments and move from parks because parks are way under. And that's how you did this. And then you're in danger.
Okay. Any other comments? Yes?
Yes. So first, I want to say thank you. I know the work that goes into this, and this is a good budget presentation. I really appreciate all the breakdown. There are a couple of historical things I should probably mention first because they're the biggest pieces, and this addresses Mo's comment earlier. 10 years ago, the budget was done with a projected expense. When I started in 2017, that's what it was. It changed because the community asked for, at that point, they called transparency, which is the budget should reflect the contract commitment of the district. The board then said we also need to reflect the fact that we have historically come in under budget. That became an underutilization line in the budget. So yes. Somebody will remember some of this.
Yes.
And so my guess is that might come back into the discussion from the public going this way. I know we did it last year. That was the first time we've done this, that approach of a here's what we think it will be in years. And I'll just register not a concern, but just an observation of something in the public record really should reflect what our obligation is. Cal Fire's been great coming in under, but we are obligated to the not-to-exceed contract. And so somewhere in the notation, I think, and it may just be in staff report, historically we've come in under, here's a percentage, here's the average for the last 10 years, this is why. I think that would be incredibly important, particularly for people who only come once a year, maybe twice a year, because you're going to have to go through that regardless. So if you do it ahead of time, that'll take care of a whole bunch of questions.
And that is reflected in the documentation.
Oh, okay, because I didn't.
Not in this, but in the narrative.
Okay, then I missed that reader. I apologize for that.
Well, it wasn't part of this package, so.
Oh, okay.
It was. If you go back and look at last year's finalized budget with all the nice pictures and charts and everything.
Correct. This is me just trying to make sure that we cover it, because dang it, history's going to repeat itself if we don't. Thank you for that. I appreciate the projections on that. I also want to thank for realistic numbers in rec program and instructor revenue. That's been a problem for me in the past. There's been kind of, I don't want to say pie in the sky projections, but I think more hopeful than is realistic, and I think you've done a good job of that here. So, and that's a big one, so that makes an impact. And I'll try to be real quick, I'm sorry. She went over 3. You got to do it for me. I'm ready. I'm rules guy. I'm ready. 4187 pool rental in the operating revenue. There isn't a note there, but proposed budget is significantly over actuals with 1 month to go. And so if there's a note saying these contracts come in June or we're anticipating it, then I think that justifies slightly higher.
Yeah. There are invoices outstanding and invoices yet to be issued for
this current fiscal year. Okay. Because that's a $48,000 swing right there. 4262. So this is the fire apparatus equipment rental. I will again voice my concerns at putting in $250,000. And I think this last year supports that concern. I recognize what we need to do to try to balance this out. And I understand the historicals as much as anybody of what it's been. But I'm just hesitant to rely on income that isn't predictable. Even if we dropped it to 150, which is an easier target, and knowing that OES and fire are separated, as a community member, I would prefer to keep those separated because they are two different functions. And in the past, fire apparatus equipment rental has been tied to engines, so that's why we get another Type 3 engine. Our district doesn't need two Type 3 engines for our own service. primary reason, and Callan can confirm or deny, the primary reason we have two Type 3 engines is rental. We don't need to for our own personal fire service in our district. We might use them on mutual aid, but for our district supporting two engines, there isn't a justification that I remember. So having a separate fire apparatus equipment rental, because the Type 3 tends to be the one that gets rented, I think having those distinctions is important because we can tie those things together more clearly. And again, the OES, those are two separate things, even though I know they overlap. If we want to shift, if we want to plan for $150,000, that's a lot. I am really hesitant on the $250,000 equipment rental. And that's one of those, if it happens, it helps. If it doesn't, and we're relying on it, we're screwed. That's all I'll say on that. 4505, which is interest income, and I know that's a small budget line, but I just keep looking at the numbers going, man, there's got to be a way for us to make more, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 more, with $1 million just sitting there doing nothing. So I'd really love to see some attention to that. That's half the budget for fire prevention and weed abatement person and all that. I mean, that's just a gimme for me. You've addressed the fire. Thank you for that. $5,190, which is the UITT contribution. Does that come at the end of the year? Because right now we're only at $5,200. And we're budgeting for $20,000. Do we know? It's a smaller item, I know, but I'm looking for $15,000, $20,000 mm-hmm. because all that adds up to the $100,000. Yeah. So I'm just trying to find those spots. Let's see. I apologize for the pauses.
You're using up your time.
In the expenses, and I didn't see here, please correct me if I'm wrong, we listed the expense for the Type 3 engine, but I was under the assumption that was funds transferred from Fund 7, and that's not reflected in the revenue here. So I just want to make sure that that gets put in, because we were transferring funds from Fund 7 to cover that, I believe.
Well, right now we paid it out of the general fund. One of the discussions that will be coming to the board be to use our fire impact fees to pay for that engine. Right now it's out of the general fund. We could transfer from Fund 7, or we could use we could use fire impact fees, but that's a decision that the board would need to make.
Okay, I wasn't aware that we could use.
We have
fire impact.
We're working with the consultant SCI on, they believe initial conversations was, yeah, you can use it, you're growing capabilities as a district with the purchase of that engine.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson?
To your point, because I know where you're going, that wouldn't be reflected in this budget, the engine, because the engine purchase was made in this current year budget.
Yeah, it's in this budget.
So it was already made. So, but to your point, there needs to be a transfer from fire department reserve to general fund because it was paid out of general fund. You're absolutely correct.
Well, and that's part of my question in that, because there's still time to transfer the funds. It could be reflected in this fiscal year. Should you choose to transfer from Fund 7, that could happen right now.
Yes.
And so, but the question of about using fire impact, and I think the only caution, I'm not against the idea, if anything, that would be really helpful, but we've always encountered real tight restrictions on what we can use impact fees for, mm-hmm. and it can't replace existing. Was my previous understanding, Fire Park.
And so we've had a conversation with the consultant who wrote the report, and he told us it's a new piece of apparatus. When the board made the decision to purchase the Type 3 at that time, it was going to be, we didn't need it, it was going away, we're replacing it at that time. It was a replacement at that time. Since that time, because it took so long for that engine to go away, for the engine to come in, I should say, the other one was sold. So there is no engine. This is now considered, per the consultant, as a new apparatus.
And that makes sense to me because I believe it's been 2 years.
It has been.
And that establishes a condition.
Correct.
It's new. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was the answer. Right, because we had that in parks too.
Yep.
Okay.
And then basically now that the restricted funds becomes unrestricted because you're not taking out a savings, that savings will stay whole. You're just
okay. That makes perfect sense. The only other thing, and this is, might just be a decision, is in the breakdowns of departments, there is no property tax allocation. So, I should, except for admin. And so, recognizing that property tax funds fire. Property tax funds, these other things. I was just, number one, curious about the rationale for not putting that in the department breakdowns, if there's any kind of allocation for that. But also, kind of tagged to that is the allocation of insurance. And I've asked this question for years because I think it's important understanding the cost for everybody. Our insurance costs have gone up, and that covers community center, parks, AMBO fire stations, and our ambulances. I have never understood why we can't get a breakdown on what the insurance covers for each of those things. For me, it's as simple as calling the insurance company and saying, okay, give us a quote without the two fire stations and the ambulances. And then the difference is what it costs us, so that it can be assigned to the departments. And we just have, you know, people come and say, you're only spending what a percentage. Well, it's not including this and this and this and this. And that insurance is a significant cost. And I'm not trying to stack up fire costs. It's just what it is. So I would love to see if at some point, I know we can't necessarily do it for this preliminary at least.
It's just not calculated that way. So understand it's the total number of vehicles, fire department, district as a whole.
Right.
So if you said, hey, I just want the numbers just for the fire department, your insurance rate's going to go up because it's a smaller focus on that. When you bring the other vehicles in, it actually is going to bring it down.
Well, I understand. But I think it's just as easy to say, take it out of our current policy. And there's a rationale to say, the difference is the cost of. If I have three cars and I've got a policy and it's a bottom line combined, I take one car out, I'm paying less. If I have insuring everything in the district and I say to them, give me a quote without, that's one way at least to try to find some kind of allocation. And I know it's not going to be exact because if it were just fire, it would be different. But it's something. And it begins to help us see a little more realistic spread of it. That, and that's, again, I'm not going to die on that, but just continue to ask so we have a better understanding.
No, your property tax, we used to get separate letters. We don't get separate letters anymore.
Right.
The last,
right.
Oh, no.
Probably
yeah.
Six, maybe longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, this is, here it is, and it's all compressed into one.
Right.
So they don't even separate it anymore.
And we've now been able, the last two meetings we presented in the monthly budget, the roll-up of all the departments, and you'll see that now showing up there. So we don't have to kind of come up with an actuarial table of how we're going to divide it amongst all the departments. In the roll-up that we're now giving out each month, it's up there, and everybody else's expense revenue below that.
Because it was a swag. When you look at your total insurance bill, all we were doing was, all right, this is total insurance, five departments, divided by five.
Right, which
that's
isn't
accurate.
That's not accurate.
It's a fake number. That's what we, and the same thing that was happening with taxes. We were just taking total taxes, divided that by five, that's what, that doesn't work that way.
No,
so
I understand the change.
Right.
And so if there is a rationale for not breaking it down, that's fine, just one. Because it has changed from year to year, it's just nice to understand what that is. And I'll say, I don't have a problem passing a budget deficit as preliminary. It's a preliminary. I think part of the task of the board then is once they view it, they need to pass it next week because we've got to get it in. And then the board can task the general manager with, here's where we'd like to see the adjustments so that hopefully that deficit disappears in the final budget. So I don't have a problem with the deficit budget in the preliminary. That's why a few years ago we had $1 million deficit. Because we had to present to the community, and here's what's going to happen if we do everything like you're asking. And then the board was able to give direction and for the most part, manage that. So, thank you.
Bringing you back to the board.
Bring you
back. Anything further?
No.
Anything further?
I just want to highlight, so I've got in here, you know, one of the comments earlier is where can we save money? So there are items in here in the capital line because actually when I was doing the budget, and I hadn't put the capital in there yet, had a balanced budget. But then I said, well, I need to put in these important capital items. But there are some discretionary, quotation marks here, the auto gate at the lake, right? If there's one thing I hear, okay, let's put pickleball aside. One thing I hear constantly is, how come we can't lock the gate at night? Right, well, we're looking at a park host program, but there is a way to automatically lock that gate based on daylight time and all of that, mm-hmm. but it would require $20,000 approximately to do that. So, do we have to do it this fiscal year? No, we could take that $20,000 out. So there are some things in there that we could do at our discretion that won't impact us much at all. And the other numbers, you know, we've got the lighting control here. I'd say this is really a have to do because these lights stay on 24/7, 365 because the system we have, we'd have to manually shut them off each night. So we're spending a lot of money. This pool here, bad news, Danny brought it to me. Thanks for coming, Danny. Our pool heater is on its way out really quickly. So that's a $40,000 unexpected little shock.
Pool what?
Heater?
Oh, the heater. I'm sorry.
It's
pool's
a boiler.
Out. I'm like, oh, God.
It's a boiler. Yeah. And we need tarps to, you know, now this one, we might be able to get away with replacing a third of them or half of them, get the real worst. So there are some decisions that we can make in here. And the Scuba Steve, the pool vacuum, the robot cleaner, we're spending labor time, our pool doctor is sweeping. So this would be a good cost saver to do that. So for the full board, once we kind of sort through the revenue line, I can bring those items back at the board's discretion to, okay, it's so nice to have, or, well, we could probably wait another year. And that's, unfortunately, with our HVAC, we've waited another year for too many years. So that's just the last point I wanted to make.
Okay, so what do you need from Don and I?
Any of your comments?
I think you've done a great job, so I think it looks great to take it to the board.
It's a team effort. You know? Yeah.
You worked all weekend. I don't know. He's not going to tell you this, but you worked all weekend.
And he called me on the weekend.
Yeah, but worked every inch. Yeah. I don't think he's working all weekend.
No, team effort. Even, you know, Mo's, he's let me bend his ear, and Chief Richards have been great to work with. They're not fun, but, you know, when you got people that know what they're talking about, helping you do it, it's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
So what I would like is for you to have me bring this forward to the full board for discussion and deliberation. As noted, I will have a preliminary capital improvement plan that will have the $500,000 for the pool equipment stuff that's part of that. So you'll see the whole package, and then I'll have a short list of, okay, we really need to find money here for where we can go. But there's some concerns with that.
Okay. Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, community, for your input.
All right, so we will move on to item number 5, criminal offender record information management and use policy.
So in addition to all of the other fun audits that we get to go through, the Department of Justice did an audit on us for our records retention. You know, we do background checks for all of our staff. Yes.
I'm sorry, no public comment.
For that.
Out of order.
Yeah. Out of order.
So anyhow, based on that, we did find, we were able to prove that we actually, while it wasn't formally documented, we are doing the right things at the right time. So we just need to put together a management and use policy that formalizes what, who can see what, who can retain what, how do you retain it, et cetera, et cetera. And also as part of that process with the DOJ, they've worked with us to implement this record management system. It'll be under policy 3410. So it's a good thing to do. You know, you don't want to unknowingly share information about somebody's criminal record. You know, they do their time and blah, blah, blah. So I just would like to have the boards or have the committees approval to take this forward to the full board so that we can update the policy and get it into practice.
Comments?
Well, it looked good to me.
Yeah, it looked good to me, too. So
it's all pretty much from the DOJ. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Public comment? No? All right. So please move to the board with our support.
Thank you very much.
Next item is staff updates, which is just includes the May check register.
Yep.
Do you have any comments on
I didn't see anything weird on the check register.
Nor did I. Any public comment on the May check register? Okay. Moving on to items for future committee meetings. Is there anything else to add? Do you have any?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I do have something. I'm not sure it belongs in this committee or not, but the Brown Act was updated this year, and I want to make sure that we are in full compliance with it. One of the things was that all public meetings must be teleconference. However, I think we're a small enough district that it doesn't apply to us. So, okay, all right. So, but I don't know if there's other parts of the Brown Act that we need to make sure.
I think as good governance, I would like to suggest that we do a once a year refresher on the Brown Act. Timing on this one, as we have an election coming up, most likely we'll have board members new and those that could use a refresher. So my suggestion is let's do that post-election.
No, I'm just stating that if any of the changes to the Brown Act affect any of our policies.
Oh,
we need
yeah,
to get those. Yes, we need to get those policies
updated. And Nikki's been
updated.
All over that. She's been tracking all the Brown Act changes. Okay. I know there's a financial one for board members and governing members, if you will, as well as district staff and managers. So Nikki's all over that, I'm sure.
And then just from a transparency perspective, is it appropriate for us to, at some meeting, have a discussion that our directors have had the proper training that they're supposed to have?
Love that.
So, because I know I've been taking some classes, but I wasn't asked to take them. I'm just taking them. So.
Yeah, I had a bunch assigned last year that I knocked off, but I haven't seen anything this year.
Sure.
Okay.
So I think just from a transparency perspective with the public, we should have, that we're doing that.
Good point.
All right. Anything else? All right. Items to take to the board of directors. So the appropriations limitations, the LLD engineers report, the disposal rate adjustment, the preliminary budget, pretty much anything we talked about tonight.
Yes.
The Criminal Offender Record Information Act. Okay. Any matters to and from committee members and staff?
No, I've got nothing.
Nothing. Sorry again for being tardy this evening. Okay, then if nothing else, we will adjourn at 7:04.
Alrighty. Not need to apologize. You got the B&A meeting for the preliminary budget done in an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's
hour.
Right.
Technically an hour because I was
oh,
late.
Geez, no. Apologies. Okay, that was spectacular.
Yeah, it was good. And feel better.
Thank you. I laid down to take a nap before the meeting and then I didn't wake up in time.
Oh,
this is still running.
Oh.